Take your Bibles, Ephesians chapter number 5. Well, we've been in a series entitled, For Better or Worse, and learning biblical principles for the ups and downs of marriages. And we are in week number 4, and we're going to talk, I guess it's week 5, because we spent 3 weeks on the purpose of marriage. Then we talked about the responsibility of the husbands, and they are to love their wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And then today we're going to talk about the wife's responsibilities. What is her responsibility in the relationship of marriage? Now, during a wedding ceremony, there is an element of that ceremony that is the lighting of the unity candle. And it's always interesting when that happens to see what the husband and spouse do with the original candles after they light the unity candle. Do they blow them out? Do they leave them lit? What do they do? Well, this one couple who was getting married was going through that exercise, and they were lighting the unity candle, and they put the other candles back and they left them lit. And then as the ceremony went on, without the husband noticing, the wife leaned over and blew his candle out. And everybody in the audience kind of laughed, you know, at that. And one of the fellows who was watching that leaned over to the other fellow and he said, you know, during the marriage ceremony, two become one. But after the honeymoon, you find out which one. And she was kind of giving her hand there just a little bit. When they talk about Adam and Eve, and of course, the first marriage, Adam and Eve, someone said, you know, they had the ideal marriage. And they said, well, why do you think that? And they said, well, he did not have to hear about all the men she could have married. And she did not have to hear about how good his mother's cooking was. And so they had an ideal marriage indeed. And it is our prayer that you will have or do have or are working on having an ideal marriage. And we want to learn another principle today that are going to help us in that regard. Now let me give one preface and then we're going to dive in. Ladies, my name is Gabe and I am your friend, okay? I do not have anyone in mind today. I certainly do not have my own wife in mind. I just want to lay the groundwork for this lesson, okay? If I could build like a stone wall up here and teach it from behind that, that might be better. But all I have is this little podium. So I'm going to do the best that I can, all right? But I promise you today, I'm going to share the Word of God. And I hope and pray that it's a blessing. I already know what I'm going to share is not popular. I already know that there will be some that look at me like, where did you find that? You know, I know. And we're gonna do it in love and hopefully a little humor and make it palatable as we go. But I believe it'll be a blessing. And I know it will be because it's from the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself. That was the challenge to the men last week. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, God in his word has provided for us some very specific instruction, information, and direction concerning the purpose of the marriage relationship and how the responsibilities given from God to the husband and from God to the wife complement one the other. In other words, when the man is fulfilling his purpose, when the woman is fulfilling her purpose as husband and wife, God blends that together for a very strong marriage relationship. And God wants us to know what is our responsibility, and then God wants us to be obedient in the fulfilling of that responsibility. And when two people come together and they know and accept and fulfill the responsibilities that God has given to them in the marriage relationship, then the oneness, the unity, the strength that God desires in the marriage relationship will exist. But when we either live in ignorance of what we're supposed to do, or we live in disobedience of what we're supposed to do, that oneness does not exist in our relationship as God intends for it to be. And so we have to know what to do, but then we have to do what we know. The Bible says, better be doers of the word than hearers only. And so this morning, we want to continue that pursuit with understanding according to the Bible. What are the wife's responsibilities in marriage? And let's dive into this study. Number one, the wife's responsibility is to submit. to submit. And no, I did not curse. That is a word in the Bible, all right? To submit. Now, the Bible says in Colossians 3:18, you say, Brother Gabe, you're just having too much fun this morning. There is a little humor involved in all of this. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now, submission gets a bad rap today. But as we see clearly in the Word of God, it was God's idea. It's part of God's creation and plan and purpose and origin of the home. It's part of the way He structured it. God is God. He knows more than any of us. He loves us more than we love ourselves. And He has a perfect plan for our life. So obviously this fits in our lives in a positive way. So how can something that has such a negative connotation, like some women when they just hear the word want to get up and run out of the room. How can something have that effect when it's in the Bible and it's for our good? Well, I believe it's because there's a lot of misinformation out there regarding submission. And I want us to look at some false teachings regarding submission. And a lot of this I don't think is in your notes because it wasn't room. So just have to listen, okay? Submission is not merely a concept for women. Submission is a concept for everybody. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Did you know every man in this room is supposed to submit? To who? God. Every man in this room is under the authority of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:21, the husbands and wives are submitting one to another. There's times where we're deferring one to the other. There's times where we're working together in this way. So submission is not merely a concept just for women. It's for every believer. Secondly, submission does not mean that the wife becomes a slave. There's this misnomer out there that if I become a biblical wife and follow the teaching of the Word of God, then I know what I'm going to be. I'm going to be Slave Susie the rest of my life. No, that's not true. Actually, the wife is never more free than when she's in submission to her husband, for then she is free to become who God intended and created her to be. The Bible says in Proverbs 31, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. There's a lot of women looking for a lot of praise in all the wrong places. The Bible says, and she that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. It's not a sentence to slavery. Submission does not mean that the wife never opens her mouth, has an opinion, or gives advice. Fellas, I'm sorry to let you down, but that's not true, okay? But that's not what it means. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Every wise man in this room asks his wife for advice. So, what do you think about this? How does that sound to you? Thinking about this, what do you think? You see anything about that I didn't see? It doesn't mean that there's no voice, there's no opinion, there's no participation. It doesn't mean that at all. Submission does not mean that the wife becomes a wallflower who folds up and allows her abilities to lie dormant. That if she fulfills the biblical mandate to submit, that basically now her life means nothing. Have you ever read the description of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31? Let me read a little bit of it for you. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth with her merchandise is good and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold to the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow of her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. The virtuous woman was quite an accomplished person. Doesn't mean that your abilities lie dormant. Submission does not mean that you are inferior to your husband. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, that's a biblical authoritative statement. But do we deduce from that that Christ is inferior to God? No. Jesus Christ is the living Son of God. He's part of the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It certainly is not implying that Jesus Christ is inferior to God the Father. Rather, it is in reference to the fact that there is a division of labor and responsibility within the Trinity. And it is the same way in the home life, that the wife who is in submission to her husband, it's not implying inferiority in any way, shape, or form. It just speaks to the need for order and structure and a division of responsibility within the home. It's part of God's original plan. And we need to understand submission is not a bad thing. It's a God thing, which means it's a good thing. So what is submission then? Letter A. Submission is God's plan. 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that he also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And so the wife is simply commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to submit as unto the Lord. We read in the book of Ephesians. And so a refusal on behalf of the wife to submit to her husband is a rebellion against God. It wasn't any husband's idea in this room that wives should submit. That was God's original plan. That was His purpose and intent. And to not be in submission is to be in rebellion against God, because it is His plan. This was His idea. Letter B, submission is a choice. God will not force any woman in this room to be a submissive wife. By the way, God will not force any person to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior either. So God so loved the world that He gave. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So God gave Jesus. Jesus is the only way to heaven, but that's not forced on anyone. Everyone is invited. Anyone can accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. But as much as they can accept Christ as their Savior, they can reject Christ as well. And they can choose to live life without Christ and an eternity without God. So God has a plan for marriage. And in that divine original plan is wives submit to your husbands. But it's a choice. You can choose to be obedient to God, or you can decide, I'm not going to do that. That doesn't work for me. Submission is a choice. And ladies, submission at the ground level is a spiritual matter. A spirit-filled wife is a submissive wife. Because a wife cannot be submissive without the power of the Holy Spirit in her. It's a spiritual matter. Submission is really an element of spiritual maturity of God at work in your life. The Bible says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is God's plan, but it's your choice. Sometimes wearing a seatbelt can be a hassle. Some people don't want to bother with it, even when the law requires it. And according to an Associated Press article, a New Zealander named Ivan took this concept to the extreme. The police had ticketed him 32 times in a 5-year span for failing to use his seatbelt. Now, even though this was costing him an outrageous amount of money, he refused to buckle up. Finally, though he did not want to obey the law, but he was tired of getting these fines, he decided that he would rely on deception. So he created a fake seatbelt that he attached above the original seatbelt that just hung down, that he could casually lay over his shoulder but never across his body and never buckle, so that it would appear that he had a seatbelt on, so that he wouldn't have to wear a seatbelt, but that so he could stop getting these outrageously expensive tickets. Well, the trick worked for a while. But then a few months later, Ivan was involved in a head-on collision. It was a very serious accident. He was thrown at great speeds into a steering wheel and was killed instantly. Discussing the accident, the coroner described the fake seatbelt as this. Though his car was fitted with perfectly working seatbelts, an extra seatbelt with a long strap had been created and installed, knotted above the original seatbelt on the driver's side, providing a belt to simply sit over the driver's shoulder and to deceive authorities. He did something that looked like it was right, but it wasn't. It wasn't according to the design of the vehicle for safety. And eventually it caught up with him and he died. Now, when it comes to you and I being the creation of God and how we are going to operate in our relationships according to God's plan, everyone in this room has a choice. Are we going to obey or disobey? But I'm just telling you, there is consequences to disobedience. Eventually, that fake seatbelt caught up with Ivan. And eventually, if you and I are kind of shaking our fist at God and doing it our own way, that's going to catch up with us and certainly in our relationship as well. So letter C, we see that submission is a positive, not a negative concept. Submission is the freedom to be creative under the divinely appointed authority that God has given you. Wives, you are your husband's teammate. You're working together. You have great ideas, opinions, desires, requests, insights, and you should lovingly make those known. But as anyone understands, and on any team, someone has to make the final decision. Someone has to make the final call. And wives, you have to understand that this responsibility has been given to your husband by God. It's not a negative. It's a positive. Letter D, submission is displayed both in attitude and actions. Jesus was thoroughly submitted to the Father. My meat is to do the work of Him that sent me. And He served Him with joy. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do Thy will. And just as Jesus Christ submitted Himself to the work of the Father, so God calls upon a wife to submit herself to her husband with joy and in every way. The Bible said in Ephesians 5:33, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The idea here is that she would respect her husband, that she would regard and honor, prefer, esteem, praise, admire her husband. Submission is to be the pursuit of a lifestyle. Submitting to the authority that God has given your husband. Now, ladies, this does not mean you have to obey your husband in everything. Why? Because he has authority too. And his authority is God. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. So if your husband is telling you we need to do this, and it directly defies what God says to do, then you have a higher authority, and that is God. But as your husband leads your relationship and leads your home according to the Word of God, God calls upon you to submit to that leadership and to follow Him in every way. So what is a wife to do in marriage? She is to be in submission. Number two, she is to be a helper. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him. I'm going to create someone that he so desperately needs. A husband and a wife were preparing to have breakfast together. When the wife said, why do I always have to make the coffee? And the husband thought for a minute. He said, well, because you're the wife and that's your job. And she said, well, where does the Bible say that it's the wife's job to make the coffee? I think it's the man's. He was kind of taken back by that response. And he said, well, where in the Bible does it say that the man has to make the coffee? And she said, it's right there. It's in the book of Hebrews. You'll get that one later. Hebrews. Anyway. Now, without the woman, man, even in his perfect condition in the Garden of Eden, God viewed the man and said, he's incomplete. He needs help. And so God created the woman to be a help meet for him, a suitable helper for him. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And the woman was created in the man's life as a complement, not as a carbon copy. She is a complement to her husband. She is what a key is to the lock. She is what film is to the camera. She's an indispensable part of the relationship. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:11, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. And so God put them together in this relationship. God created him, God created her, and she is there to be a help meet for him, a suitable helper for him in life. Now, what are some ways, ladies, that you can help your husband? I got to run. Letter A. By making home a safe place. It should be a place of encouragement, comfort, understanding, and refuge. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Ladies, can I ask you a very honest question I want you to think about? Does your husband's heart safely rest in you? Does he trust you? Does he know that you have his back? Does he know that you have his best interests at heart? Is your home safe? I'm not talking about Vivint. I'm not talking about your security system. I'm not talking about your windows and door locks. I'm talking about the inner workings of your home and your marriage. Is it safe? Have you made your home safe? Is that the environment that it is? Be careful about always cutting him down, constantly reminding him of his faults, mistakes, and failures, constantly correcting him. Be careful that the environment of your home is not one of destruction when it should be one of encouragement and edification. Be careful that the home is in order. Be careful that the home is not so perfect that he can't live in it. There's got to be a balance. Make home a safe place. Letter B, be trustworthy and dependable. Proverbs 31:12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. What a great description of a wife. She will do him good and not evil. Letter C, discussing things lovingly, openly, and honestly. How can a wife be a helper to her husband? By discussing things in the marital relationship lovingly, openly, and honestly. The Bible says in Ephesians of these conversations, but speaking the truth in love, verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Conversation in the marriage relationship should be honest, but it should be loving and edifying. It should be encouraging. It should build up. Letter D, by being satisfied. How can you be a help to your husband? By being satisfied. Ladies, I don't know what your position in life is. I don't know the sum of your possessions. I don't know all the responsibilities on your plate. But can I encourage you this morning, whatever your life consists of right now, be content. The marriage can become greatly strained when it feels like it's never enough. When it feels like there's never satisfaction. When it feels like it's never good. When it feels like no matter what it is, no matter how it looks, no matter how it unfolds, it's just bad, 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 bad. That's not healthy in any relationship. And so be careful with being satisfied, content, grateful. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Yeah, but Brother Rule, we don't have this and we don't have that. Listen, you have God. Amen. Be content. Be content. Listen. You want to get caught up in that rat race and trying to keep up with the Joneses, go right ahead. And that's no disrespect to Jesse and Dana, okay? But I'm just talking about if you want to get in this life pursuit of, you know, they have this, they have that, whatever, and we're going to try da-da-da-da. Listen, you're never going to win that, okay? There's always somebody with more. But they got the bills and the stress and the headache to go with it. We learned that last quarter, but give me the simple life. I don't have an interest in that. Be satisfied. Letter E. Showing an interest in his problems and concerns. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Wives, can I ask you another question I just want you to think about? Whatever it is that's heavy on your husband's heart and mind today, do you know about it? Do you care? And does he know that you do? Show an interest in his problems and concerns. What's on him right now? How could you encourage him in that? How could you help? He created her a help meet for him. This is why woman was created. Listen, I know this is not a popular thought in 2018, and I got to tell you the truth, I don't care. Because I look out there in society, and there's not one thing about the relationships out there that I envy. There's not one thing this world is modeling about the home that I think, man, I wish I had that in my home. Are you kidding me? It's chaotic. It's falling apart. It's wicked. It's out of order. It's vile. I don't want any part of that. I'll take this. This works for me. And it may not be popular and people may not like it. That's fine. But this works. And I know it works. And I've seen it work. And it's working in our home today. And we're not perfect. We got a long way to go. But we're thankful for the teachings of the Word of God. And we want to trust Him. So showing an interest in His problems and His concerns. How else can we be a helper? Letter F. By keeping yourself beautiful, especially in the inner person. 1 Peter 3. Whose adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, the wearing of gold, the putting on of apparel. All the men said, thank the Lord for that. We don't have to buy all the gold. Okay, number four. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God of great price, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Wow. You know what God is saying? Even more beautiful of the women than the clothes and the jewelry and all of that was their meek and mild spirit and their subjection to their husband. There was an inner beauty that was stunningly attractive. Keep yourself beautiful, especially in the inner person. Letter G, by maintaining a good spiritual life. Ladies, and I believe this about our class. I believe that every lady in here wants to be the best wife she can be. I know these lessons are not popular to teach and they're probably not popular to hear. And I get what I'm challenging you with this morning. When you go to work tomorrow and you go in your sphere of influence and as you connect with people, it's putting you on the outside looking in. I get that. Nobody's talking about these things today. I totally understand. But I'm challenging you to believe God. I'm challenging you to follow His word. And I'm challenging you with a thought that if you will believe God and obey Him, that God will bless you. And you know what will strengthen you and keep you motivated each day? Just walking with the Lord. Nobody ever spent time in God's Word and in time of prayer with the Lord and left that time thinking, you know what? I don't think I'm going to do what God says. No. We spend time in God's Word and time in prayer and we leave that moment going, I can do this. I'm going to follow God. It doesn't make sense. And not a lot of people are doing it. And people might laugh or mock, but it doesn't matter because God's got my back. Ladies, maintaining a good spiritual life is one of the best things you can do to be a help to your husband and to your home. It will keep you an even keel, faith in God and obedience to Him. Letter H, by building loyalty to Him and the children. How can you be a helper to your husband? By building loyalty to Him in the children. Ladies, your attitude toward your husband is quickly detected by your kids. I don't want to meddle too much into your home, but have you ever watched your kids disrespect your husband? And then in a very private moment of complete honesty thought, I wonder if they got that from me. Be careful. But that goes both ways. Instilling loyalty in the hearts of the kids to mom and to dad. Can I challenge you as husbands and wives, never side with the children. You are husband and wife, you have become one flesh. You can't divide what is one. It can't be, well, he's with the kids over here and she believes in the kids over here. You can't do that. It's the husband and one are together. And if there's something you got to get in a quiet room and close the door and figure out, before you go back and talk to the kids so it sounds like you're united, then go figure it out. But you can't do that. You can't be divided. You can't side with the children. All the differences of opinions in every area need to be settled in private, together, away from the children. And what needs to be presented to them is one. husband and wife together as one, instilling loyalty to each other in front of the children. Letter I, how can you be helped to him? By being grateful to him. Your appreciation should be expressed freely and often. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I love the month of November, but it shouldn't just be the week leading into Thanksgiving. You say, well, I don't even know what I would thank him for. Well, number one, you probably don't mean that, and I'm sorry you're hurting. And number two, I want to give you an assignment. Find something. Starting right now, just watch. And when you find something that you genuinely are thankful for, stop and express it. Sweetheart, thank you for that. That blessed me. That was an encouragement to me. I appreciated that. That was kind. Thank you. And you know what that's going to do in his mind? He might fall over, you know, and have to be resuscitated and so on. I don't know. But it's going to reaffirm in his mind, that was a good thing. And sometimes we're not the smartest, you know, so you might have to kind of reaffirm it. But we're going to eventually get it, like, do that again, you know. Express gratitude. Letter J, showing confidence in his decisions. Disdain, lack of confidence, anxiety, or strong opposition to his decisions may cause him to become indecisive, defensive, or reactionary. I wish I could read that 10 times in a row. You want to know why? Because you know what I hear a lot of times in marriage counseling? He'll never make a decision. Can I encourage you to stop and to ponder why? Showing confidence in his decisions. Well, it's so bad right now, Brother Earl, I don't think he'd even make a decision. Sure he will. He goes like this. Jonathan, I don't know if we should do A, B, or C. What do you want to do? Well, it took him too long to make a decision. We're going to do B. No. No. We need to do A, B, or C. What do you want to do? And if you have to stand there for 3 hours, you stand there until he makes a decision. And then you say, okay, that's what we're going to do. Because there may be some that it's eroded so bad. And the men were challenged last week, and I want every man in this room at the barbecue on Saturday, if you at all can be there, because God's laid something in my heart about leaving a godly legacy that I think is going to help all of us as men. But show confidence in his decisions. This doesn't mean to not express concerns or doubts or opinions or whatever. All of that should be there in a loving relationship and safety and context. But at the end of the day, show confidence in the decision that he makes. I don't have time. Read 1 Corinthians 13. It's a great description on what love can do. So wives, God calls you, not Gabe. God calls you. Be in submission to your husband. Be his unique and suitable helper. That's what God's created you to be. Now, I've done my best this morning to not share my opinion. Here's what I think. I've done my best this morning from a week of study to say, here's what the Bible says. Here's how that looks according to the Word of God, as best I understand it. And I've truly tried to interpret it the way that I believe God intends it for our homes. But can I challenge you? Knowing these things will make no difference in your home. Only practicing them will. And both to the men last week, love. And I gave you 9 ways to do it. Ladies, being a helpmeet and being submissive. It's not enough to know them. We're accountable for them because we just heard them. But it's not enough to know them. We have to practice them. And so I hope and pray that we'll do that with the help of the Lord. And I gave some discussion questions, and I hope that that will lead to some good, positive, constructive conversation. And fellas, if any come to the barbecue on a Saturday with a black guy, we'll dive into it further. But I don't think that'll happen. And ladies, can I tell you something as I close? And I know I'm out of time. We've got to pray and we've got to run. Ladies, my wife and I love every family in this room. We have a passion to see the marriages of the His Design class be strong. And I know that in our culture and society that some would look at the teachings of the Word of God and say, what in the world? Can I just challenge you? God knows what He's doing. He's on the throne. He has your best interest at heart. So don't doubt Him. Trust Him. Try it. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised, if not shocked, at the Lord's blessing on your marriage and home as you follow the teachings of the Word of God. And we're praying for you, and we're here to help. Men, be sure to get your ticket when we go as well. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for some time in your Word this morning. I pray that you would strengthen our marriages and homes as a result. In Jesus' name, amen.